soon to a...
A man has seen every... Hell comes to Huntsville.
Welcome to Hell Comes to Huntsville, a collaborative podcast effort between Huntsville Home Video and America's Barley Basket, where we all talk about horror movies for 31 straight days. And here we are about to chat about a movie. Leanne, would you care to pronounce or to tell us the movie that we are about to watch here on day number 7?
Before I do that, I have to know which one you want. Do you want the actual way to say it? How y'all taught me to say it, or how what I thought it was at first?
Let's talk about how you have gone through your 30 plus years of existence on this earth pronouncing the title to this movie.
I thought that the movie was called, because I've encountered this word before, obviously, but I guess only in written form and not in audio form, because yours truly thought that today we would be watching Leviathan. Leviathan, as I'm going to see Mastodon got that album, and I thought it was Leviathan, and it's not. So.
When we were putting this series together, and I suggested, we should go with some underwater horror and go watch Leviathan, a very aristocratic Leanne looked to me and said, do you mean Leviathan? Which I said, no, I mean how it's actually pronounced, and it's called Leviathan.
No, I thought it was Leviathan. Makes more sense to me. And honestly, I'm really struggling with Leviathan.
I'm honestly really struggling because now that it's in my head, I look at that and I say, fucking Leviathan? No, Leviathan, Jack, Leviathan.
I feel like Leviathan makes more sense, but I'll go with whatever y'all want me to go with.
Marlon Wells from America's Barley Basket, where are we going on this one?
I am excited to talk about Leviathan, that's how that word is pronounced, although I think it's the doctor in this movie fucking at one point says Leviathan, which is not right and completely threw me for a loop. I had to like pause it and be like, no, you're supposed to be a doctor. You're a man of science. You are a learned fella. I'm going to need you to pronounce that again.
Need you to do better, Richard Crenna.
Yep.
Fucking Leviathan sounds like the yearly holiday sale where they sell Levi Strauss jeans. Come on down to Leviathan. We got original 501s, buy one, get two free at Leviathan.
Man, I got to go hit up that sale. Get myself some jeans. I'm due.
They don't make nothing in my size.
I got patches and two sets of thighs. I'm just busted out of them. And I don't have it in the budget right now.
Oh, man.
We're just ironing on patches.
Burning them up over here.
We got to get a GoFundMe going for Lily. Get her some books. Get her some jeans.
I literally sat down in here the other day one morning when I was running late, and I just felt it. I felt my thigh just become exposed, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Oh, man.
That friction will get you.
That thigh friction will get you every time.
Well, I can tell you, Leanne, that when I was 10 years old, I vividly remember seeing, opening up the Sunday paper, because they always had like the big entertainment section, you know, they'd always have the big ads for the movies and everything. And I remember seeing the poster, the image for this movie, and then turning to my dad and saying, Dad, can I go see Leviathan?
You knew how to say it at that early of an age?
At 10.
Damn.
Yeah. Well. Not trying to like, you know.
Don't, you faker. You liar faker. Don't act like you're not trying to just rub it in, okay?
Okay. What I will say is that when I was 10, my dad took me to Leviathan.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said, two for Leviathan, please. That's my dad. He said it's okay. because I couldn't get into R-rated movies because I was 10. But I could say Leviathan.
I get it. I get why we're here.
And then, whoa, we're here to talk about a movie from 1989
with RoboCop.
With RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
And Colonel Troutman from Rambo.
Yes.
And one of the wet bandits from Home Alone.
That was my note. I was like, oh shit, that's a wet bandit.
A full half of the wet bandits are in this flick.
Uh-huh. Man. And he was kind of wet the whole movie.
This whole movie's wet.
It sure is. So let's get into
also,
it. Let's
don't forget Ernie Hudson, baby.
Oh, you can't forget Ernie Hudson, baby. Mm-mm. Ernie Hudson, great dude. A forgotten Ghostbuster, unfortunately. Everyone always forgets him.
Yep.
Not me, though. I remember.
You didn't. That's just now.
Racism,
you had to be reminded.
Is what it is.
Well. Yeah, true.
I'm just reaching.
Let's start it out today with Marlon Wells from America's Barley Basket. Marlon, what did you think about Leviathan?
I think it is fine. I think it's middle of the road. Nothing special. It's not bad. It's not good. It is surely competently made. Stan Winston effects, always fun to see popping up and shit. I like Ernie Hudson a lot. I like Peter Weller a lot. Boy, that Weller fella's got real blue eyes. I mm-hmm. really was drawn to in this movie.
You get lost in them, did you?
I did. They're just piercing. They just look right at your soul. You know, I was just like, I am going to do better, Peter, saying this out loud in my one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine. I think it's very easily forgettable. Like, it's middle of the road, boilerplate, nothing wrong with it. It's fine.
All right. Fair enough. Leanne Foster.
I have to say I 100% agree with Marlon on this one. That's exactly how I felt about it. I felt like it wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't a great movie. And I feel like I just have seen it before in other movies. I feel like it was a total ripoff movie, which I guess that's what it was supposed to be. But I felt myself going more, oh, that's Alien, or oh, that's Jaws, or oh, that's whatever. And uh-huh. so it's just, it's kind of forgettable. But I think I agree with Marlon 100%.
And I agree with the both of you.
Oh!
Look at this shit. Look at this shit.
Look at us.
When you say, you know, oh, I've seen this in this movie, I've seen this in that movie, this is a thing. This is one of like four or five underwater-based horror movies that came out between 1989 and 1990.
Mm-hmm.
This one, my favorite of the bunch.
Okay.
Even though it is, you know, it is kind of forgettable, it is kind of very formulaic. Like, if you take an underwater horror movie, you apparently have to follow this exact formula. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're underwater, we meet our people. Oh, here's some manner of sea creature, and we're underwater. So even if we get away from this, we're still underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I bet we gotta fight this thing, and we'll get to the surface. But I bet it's going to be there, too. And we better say something akin to what happens at the end of Jaws.
Yes.
Say ah, motherfucker.
Not as poetic.
No.
And I just yelled out. I was like, fuck you. That was a fuck you moment for me.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I agree 100%. It was just like, whatever.
It was
not terrible. I liked the monster. I liked, you know, the thing, but...
The Thing, which it basically was.
The Thing,
it
yeah.
Was the, it, mm-hmm. Where's Kurt Russell when yep. you need him?
I know.
And his hat that's too big.
And his big, silly hat.
You can't keep messing with that man's hat.
It's this movie's just underwater Alien. This is just wet Alien.
It
absolutely is.
That was kind of my thought when I saw it years and years ago. And then having seen the other movies that kind of ape this, like Deep Star 6, like Lords of the Deep, like all these other movies that came out in the same era, those I ended up seeing on home video. And I was like, wait, this is just Leviathan. Wait, did I rent Leviathan again?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. No. Okay. No, this is this one. This is okay. No. Okay. All right. But yeah, very, very, you know, by the numbers, very, Very, like you said, wet aliens.
Without, it is.
We take RoboCop in, we take Ripley out.
I can understand inspiring a movie, but I just feel like you watched and was like, alien, 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 up the thing, alien, alien, yeah, alien, yeah. Jaws, alien, alien, you know, yeah.
Like the filmmakers are like, I want to take this movie that I'm watching now that's in outer space and put it underwater.
Globe, 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 here we go.
Yep. And then give it some tagline that's not as good as in space, no one can hear you scream.
Mm-hmm. What was the tagline for this movie?
What was the tagline? It's like, save your last breath to scream.
Oh, no.
Or maybe that was Deep Star Six. I don't know.
No.
It was one of them.
I'm looking at the tagline right now, and the tagline is, aliens thrilled you, the fly shocked you.
That's
now
right.
Experience real fear.
That's right.
It has so little identity that it has to name drop two better films while advertising itself.
And they tried to dunk hard on two movies that were great, and they came up with a big whiff.
Yeah, like, it goes so far into Alien as to have its... Oh, fuck, I'm going to fuck up the name. Is it Weyland-Yutani, corporation?
You nailed it. That was it. Weyland-Yutani.
Boom. Got it. I get candy. it has the bad, like the evil corporation that doesn't have their best interests in mind. Also, like that lady, I believe the actress is Meg Foster that plays Mrs. Martin.
Yep.
Ms. Martin is fantastic in that role. She's a great shitty corporate boss.
She's just fantastic. She was in Leanne, a movie that you may remember. It was our very second episode of Huntsville Home Video. She was in They Live.
She was. Uh-huh. That's where I've seen those eyes.
Yeah.
That's her. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And she was also Evil Lynn in the live action Masters of the Universe movie.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, the less you know, the better.
Okay.
Also, Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem.
Yep.
She was in Lords of Salem. I just watched that not too long ago.
Much, much older looking now, but
but
still got them eyes.
I don't want to go back and look because I've had enough titties. I don't need no more titties. That's all that movie is, just titties.
Surprisingly, for a movie from 1989 set underwater, I mean, not a lot of titty in this movie.
Nope.
Outside of a...
Pretty... They didn't do what I expected them to do, which is lean in, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, nothing in this movie they really leaned into, you know? They didn't lean into the creature. They didn't lean into the evil corporation. They didn't, kind of go all out with anything.
I wanted more backstory on, like you said, the corporation. I needed to see more of the video diary they get out of the ship.
Yeah.
I needed all of that, and we didn't get any of it.
I think they did a great job of kind of giving every character an identity.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so you're like, you're going to feel bad when, like, these people start to die.
Yeah.
Or not. But I completely agree. We could have gotten maybe less of that and more of... Where did this thing come? What happened with the old ship? What happened with the Russians? What happened, you know, where's Meg Foster coming from?
I want the mystery.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of the mystery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think, like, while they're introducing all the characters in the front half, they, I think they really telegraph who's going to live and die, which is definitely, you know, a trap that all of these type of movies fall into. But it's just like... you know the fucking wet bandit's going to get it. He's a dirtbag.
yep.
Ethnic people don't usually survive these kinds of movies. And then you see Peter Weller and Willie making eyes at each other. You're like, well, you two survive for sure.
And I was convinced, I shouldn't really say this like back when I first saw it, because I wasn't aware of that stereotype because I was like 10. You know, like, oh, the black guy always dies first. And then you get to the end, you're like, oh, hell yeah, Ernie Hudson's going to make it out. Oh, son of a bitch.
I was so mad at that.
Yeah. Yep, they really pull that rug out from under you.
Yep, they sure do.
Also, they kept on at the end. It was just like, oh, here's the we've made it. Oh, here's the monster again. And usually you get that one extra scare with the monster, and it was like, oh, fucking sharks. And I was like, God damn it. I'd rather them had just killed him off at the beginning and gone with the stereotype than how he went at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, he made it. He didn't need to do this. We didn't need to lose him.
And then it was like 15, 16 years later, whatever, they let LL Cool J live at the end of Deep Blue Sea. Son of a bitch.
Oh, him and his fucking bird.
Yeah. Deepest, bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin.
Oh, fuck. That song is so bad.
It sure is. That's the only thing this song was missing was an LL Cool J jump off at the end.
I remember being obsessed with that movie because it played all the time on like TBS or TNT. And I was like, this fucking movie rocks. And then later on, I was like, oh, Deep Blue Sea's on. And I went, what is happening? What am I doing here?
Do you know they made three of those?
They made three of them?
Yeah.
No.
I just found out about the third one within the last 6 months.
I didn't know we went past one.
Yeah. I knew there was a sequel that like was direct to DVD. Had no idea about a third.
That's wild.
I know.
How do you keep making how do you keep writing those movies? Like, leave the fucking sharks alone, y'all.
Right?
Like, at some point, how ridiculous does your plot have to be just to keep making those?
I mean, them some super smart sharks. They keep getting smarter.
Yo, now the sharks are on land. Oh, fuck.
Now they're in a tornado. Oh, shit.
I think this is probably only the third movie I've ever seen him in. It's only the second movie, the second non-Home Alone affiliated movie I've ever seen Daniel Stern in. Daniel Stern's a pretty decent actor. He's like a really good dirtbag in this movie. He's such an unlikable piece of shit, and he does it really well.
I tried to think of what else I had seen him in, and I just could not recall. So I think this is the only thing other than Home Alone that I can really remember seeing him in. But I think he did a great job too. He wasn't too into it. He wasn't too tropey. He wasn't too, like, he just was a genuine dirtbag.
Have you not seen him in City Slickers?
I forgot he was in City Slickers.
He was in City Slickers.
Okay, I've seen that one.
Okay.
I've seen that movie.
Oh, yeah, he is in City Slickers, isn't he?
But yeah, great. Like, especially when you see a character like that who you associate so deeply with something else, like, you know, dude in Harry in Home Alone.
I mean, even though he was a dick there, I mean, he was a robber.
Right.
You know, but he was a more likable robber than this piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's like some fun, ha-ha, like a kid's movie or whatever.
Right.
Now he's in this like 80s horror movie.
Now he's looking at Titas, you know, when he shouldn't. Right.
Just shameless. No one has stared at titties harder than Daniel Stern stared at titties in that scene. Like, just leering. You want a good visual definition of a leer? That was a leer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was textbook. I mean, like, homeboy found his favorite centerfold, and he brought it to the bottom of the ocean with him. Like, that's a man that loves titties.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta respect the commitment.
You know what I would rather watch than Leviathan is a Leviathan TV show that doesn't have any of the monster shit and is just the day-to-day interactions of this workplace.
All right.
Okay.
Like make a live-action C-Lab 2021 and just put this cast in it. Like, I liked all those interactions. I liked all of the, like Cobb, who's always preaching about, like, oh, we can't, you know, you can't ask us to work overtime because it's union. Like, he's always got a union rule to step on what Peter Weller's trying to do. And Peter Weller's like the smarty smart pants that the hard working grunts don't really care for. Like, you have a decent workplace dramedy in there.
That would actually be stellar.
That's when you'd name it Leviathan.
Also, I realized that I think I just like underwater things. I love C-Lab 2021. I used to love SeaQuest back when that fucking show was on.
Oh my God, I forget about SeaQuest.
Michael Crichton's Sphere. I love underwater shit, it turns out. Ironic, like, for a fella who can't swim.
Are you what? Talking now about Sphere the book or Sphere the movie?
The book. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, the movie is such dog shit.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think you told me that, and I stayed away ever since.
I've never read the book because I saw the movie and I'm like, well, this is a piece of shit. And if the book is even marginally better than this, that's still pretty shitty.
I loved the book.
Spoilers incoming for Sphere the movie. The big like thing at the end is I forget all the nuance to it. I just remember being so completely flabbergasted by the ending. The three heroes, they just kind of like hold hands and mentally agree to forget about everything that happened. And then the alien force or whatever just fucks off and lets them forget about everything that just happened. That was the big twist.
Interesting. Not really. It's got 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It doesn't even deserve 9 of those percentage points.
My first note in my set of notes was, I love the sea.
you wanted to be like an underwater marine biologist.
I wanted to be a marine biologist. I wanted to go to the University of Tampa, learn about them animals.
So if given the opportunity, you would have like worked on a rig like this?
I mean, why not? You know, yeah, sure, why not?
Hi, my name is Leanne Foster. I'm here for my evaluation for acceptance to the crew of the Leviathan.
Oh, get out of here.
We just filled that position. I'm sorry, Miss Foster. Good day.
Get the fuck out of here, dummy. I heard you don't even read.
Get you one of them hard magazines.
Yeah. I don't know. Being on the sea is a lot different than under the sea, though. It's very... These movies do make me a little claustrophobic.
100%.
Like, you know, like if you set a movie in a cave, I'm like... I feel gross already. But then underwater and that kind of a thing, because it's all around you, yeah, it's a little claustrophobic. It's a big difference.
And especially to me, if you're in space, it's like, okay, if you get out of your, you know, ship or you get out of your whatever, your space station, you just go in space and you die.
Yeah.
You know, in underwater, it's like, oh, you got so many other things that can fuck you up.
We don't know what's in there. We don't know what's under there.
You got creatures, you got the water, you've got decompression.
I know. I feel I'm one of those people. I'm like, we should stop going to space and go down in the water. We'd have cures for everything. We need to know what's underwater. So yeah, this just is so much mystery with what the fuck is down there and what it looks like. It's just like, ugh. Yeah.
And then, like Marlon said, that's someone, he's just terrified of swimming, and he loves the sea.
Hmm.
Yeah, I love underwater fiction and don't want to be anywhere near the water ever.
You don't like open bodies of water either.
Do not.
I do. I'll be on a lake or the ocean any day.
No, that's you will be without us. We will be watching from the shore with a Mai Tai in hand, wishing you well.
I just don't understand, because you will go in a piss-infested water park and will not come out to the ocean.
True.
Mm.
Because I will not be eaten by a shark in a water park.
Okay.
Unless I'm in Jaws 3, in which case it might happen.
Oh, that's right.
I also won't go in a water park.
Is that cleanliness related or safety related?
I guess both, but like the number one thing being like, I can't swim. So I don't want anything to do with anything water related. I don't go in the pool. I don't like the handful of times I've been coaxed out on a boat. It's just like me with a white knuckle grip onto whatever is the nearest solid structure of this boat. Just wanting this to be over. Like, I hate it so much.
Oh, you've never been on a jet ski then, have you?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't. What is the, it doesn't have anything for me. I get that it's like a, like, I get the appeal because I grew up, like, riding motorcycles. So I understand because it's just a water motorcycle. But they can't call
I know,
that
that's what makes
for whatever
it fun.
Reason. I get that it's probably fun, but if I fall off, I will panic and thrash and drown. That's how it's going to go.
And I was going to say, he could just do the northern version and get on a snowmobile.
Mm.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's just different flavors of motorcycle.
Right?
I've never been on a land motorcycle. I've only been on a water one.
So a motorcycle?
I've been on a water one and a snow one, not a land one. Fuck you. That was really funny, Jack. That was good.
God damn it. I've never been on a motorcycle.
Well, we were giving them geographical destinations. I don't know.
I've been on an air motorcycle.
You douchebag.
I love that we've turned motorcycles into the Captain Planet rings.
Yes.
Oh,
we've just
shit.
Broken down the elements. Like the somewhere there's the infinity gauntlet of motorcycles, and if you get all of them, you can snap half the motorcycles out of existence.
If you get all of them, you can transport yourself across any plane.
Any terrain.
God damn.
Anyway.
I've never been on a land motorcycle. That's gonna stick with me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna drift off to sleep tonight right before I do. I've never been on a land motorcycle. Snooze. So some closing thoughts on Leviathan, Leanne Foster.
Great.
Fuck it.
I enjoyed it. I don't feel like I wasted any time on it. Glad I saw it. Probably won't see it again. And I totally would have bitched out like that blonde and just gone in the shower. So I get that. And I'll give it a 2.75? 3?
2.75?
I was gauging your face. I didn't know. What do I think, Jack? What do I think?
Don't look at him for approval. You rate it like you want to rate it.
You're not the first person who's told me that.
That is super. Like I'm gonna like I'm really gonna die on Leviathan's Hill. Like
I know.
That's the one that I'm gonna get pissed off about.
I will give it a 2.75, but I feel like it was a good. It was not poorly made. It just
It had some issues.
Yeah.
It could have been better.
Sure.
And because of that, a 2.75.
Yeah. Thank you for taking all of my nonsense and stripping it down to just the goods.
That's what I'm here for.
I know. We've made a whole podcast with that bullshit.
But you keep me humble, Foster.
Aww.
You keep me humble.
You keep me educated.
I try.
Leviathan.
I certainly try.
He tries.
Marlon, your closing thoughts on Leviathan.
One quick note before I give that to you. I really liked Ernie Hudson has a line in this movie, and I love when people do this. This is usually a thing you only see in fiction and not in real life, but I really love when people refer to a vampire as a Dracula, and he does that earlier on when they're when the doctor's like, oh god, it got to the blood supply, and Ernie Hudson just turns and is like, you telling me we're stuck down here with a Dracula? I love that. No. I love when someone makes Dracula an improper noun.
And not only that, he goes, a goddamn Dracula. He put a goddamn on it.
Tell me we're stuck down here with a goddamn Dracula?
Yeah.
Fucking kills me every time.
Uh-huh.
All in all, I think it's, it's competently made. It is what it is. Save some time and watch Alien instead. Mm-hmm. Not bad enough to hate, not good enough to like. 3 out of 5. Dead center.
Yeah, and I am there. Like, I loved this movie a lot more when I was an impressionable youth. To a 10-year-old's brain, this is a little more terrifying than it has aged into. Still, it seems to be the general consensus today. Competently made, great cast, some good creature effects. I, too, give it a 3 out of 5.
All right. I love when we're united. So good.
Well, let's see if we're united tomorrow. How would you guys, since I mentioned this was one of many underwater horror-themed movies that came out in 1989 and 90. Like, it was a weird year for underwater horror. Would you like to see this movie if it absolutely sucked?
Yeah.
Let's watch Deep Star 6.
Okay, so was this made before or after Leviathan?
Leviathan.
I got hung up.
Oh, that was so pure. That was so precious.
That was like you studied so hard.
I know.
You got called upon in class. Like you thought you had it. Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't have it.
A thing that has happened to me several times in my lifetime. I didn't have it. Didn't roll off the old tongue.
B minus.
I know.
Leviathan actually came out first. Deep Star 6 was a couple months later.
Okay.
Which means it had to have been made at the same time. Like, it would have been in production at the same time.
Right, yeah, which is something that has always fascinated me about Hollywood. You know, Leanne and I have talked about this before. Marlon, I don't know if you and I have ever had really this conversation. But when ideas and everything float around Hollywood, you know, you're selling a script to someone, you don't necessarily sell your script on the first pitch. You know, it's like, oh, I got this pitch for a movie. It's an underwater horror movie with this, that, and the other. We're going to pass on that. So, like, that dude that passes on it can still go to a studio and kind of ape what he just heard, you know? Like, he can, like, oh, we can take this underwater horror movie and instead make it, like, this underwater horror movie. So, essentially, this happened in 1989, where at the same time in production, there were four movies that were basically the same fucking movie.
Wow.
Fascinating to see. And, you know, it's happened other times in movie history. You got movies like Deep Impact and Armageddon. They came out at roughly the same time. One very clearly better than the other. Marlon, I think I know which one we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss a thing.
Goddamn right.
That's Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
I got that.
Yeah, that's what's up. Dante's Peak and Volcano, like another in the disaster horror or disaster film. Very like-minded. But yeah, I think for Hell Comes to Huntsville, we stay submerged on the bottom of the ocean. We talk about a movie that Leanne can pronounce with no issues.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Deep.
Very good.
Deep
Star. Very good.
Deep Star 6.
Very good.
Yay!
Nailed it.
Very
gold sticker.
So fucking proud of you.
There's another instance of two extremely similar movies coming out at the same time, and I only bring it up because it's serendipitous to this. Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. Tombstone was the next movie directed by the man who directed Leviathan.
That's right.
Same fella. Made both Tombstone and Leviathan.
Mm-hmm. And Tombstone, the greater of the Wyatt Earp movies.
By far. Fucking Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner is fucking boring.
Uh-huh. Have you seen either of those, Leanne?
I've seen Tombstone.
Seen Tombstone?
But not. I don't think I've seen Wyatt Earp. Yeah. Or I don't remember it.
Just watch Tombstone again.
Okay.
And you'll be good.
I'll do that.
All right.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Let's have a spelling contest.
Yeah. The spelling isn't the problem. It's the pronunciation.
I was actually a good speller.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, you want to talk about great spellers? Our boy Marlon Wells here.
Oh, I bet.
National Spelling Bee champion.
You were one of those?
No. No, not national, not even state. Like competed at state, did not get past state. But so I'm a good speller, but not like an astounding speller.
Still a good speller.
I don't believe it. I think he's outstanding.
you think he's underselling it?
No, I think he's underselling it for sure.
I think at some point, Marlon, you should text her the picture of you in the paper because that is mwah, chef's kiss.
Okay. Yeah, that is good. It's certainly, as Jack Spade once put that photo, the headline says Spelling Bee Champion, but it could easily read, Troubled Youth Shoots Up School.
Oh, no!
You want to see a photo of a, like, oh, that kid's for sure a tiny psychopath. Yeah, it's not a good photo.
Were you wearing a trench coat or some crazy shit like that?
No, but I got those nice big like BTK killer glasses that are flat on top and round on the bottom.
Yeah,
like because that's what I was wearing at 9. Yeah, it's not
just
a good.
Just that dead-eyed
cut
stare.
All this out. It's not good.
Just had a look like, motherfucker, I can spell onomatopoeia.
It looks like I've never seen a camera before. It looks like I'm scared at whatever this little device you have is.
Oh my God, I need to see that immediately. You've got to find it and send it to me.
And I will kill again.
Oh shit. I think that photo is better than probably anything we'll review for the rest of the month.
Okay.
So good. But we will. We will be reviewing stuff for the rest of the month. 31 horror movies in 31 days. We hope you are along for the journey. Tomorrow we're talking about Deep Star 6. In the meantime, while you are patiently awaiting, while you're going back to the doldrums of your everyday life, waiting for the next episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville. Maybe go back, check out some older episodes of Huntsville Home Video. You can find us at huntsvillehomevideo.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at
HSV Home Video.
Or you could give yourself a true treat, mm-hmm. Introduce yourself to America's Barley Basket, where you can find our friend Marlon every week talking with one of his good buddies and an incredibly funny human being, Nathan Folsebach. Marlon, where can they hit up the ABB?
They can find it on all the social meds, the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Barley Basket USA, and they can listen to a new episode every Tuesday on their podcast app of choice.
There you go. That's where you can find the chuckles. And again, we will be back tomorrow for another episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville. Be kind. Rewind.
Let Lily ride a land motorcycle.